inviting us to preach and teach the Word of God. Thank you for your fellowship, and I really appreciate this church. Appreciate you folks, and thank you all for coming today. I'd like to say that our prayers are with you. For those, the folks that is still out, the sick, that we've been praying for you folks that's back. It's good to see the Schertzers back. And I tell you, the COVID thing is not over yet, is it? And what more can I say on that? My, how it has been a detriment to our churches, to our people, and so forth. With that being said, turning your Bibles this morning, I welcomed you to Sunday school this morning. I'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I would like to say, back up, Brother Randy said in your prayer there, hope have a fun time in the Lord. I hope last Sunday night was a good time in the Lord for you folks that were here when I was teaching on some numbers in the Bible. And so forth, the significance of some numbers. And we covered, 1, 2, and 3, and that's as far as I could get with it. I'd like to be able to do it again some other time. I'd like to be able to do, it's a whole study on the on just the number 7 itself and the relation of it in the Bible. And it spreads all the way from Genesis to Revelation. The number 7 is so prevalent there and so forth. And I'd like to be able to say with that thing we was talking about last week, we covered number 13 as well somewhat, and I forgot to mention to you that the name Judas Iscariot has 13 letters in it, by the way, and also the word transgressors, is 13 letters in it. So it's very significant that 13 is the number of transgression, iniquity, sin, wickedness, etc., rebellion, and so forth. And I showed you where that came from. Well, I'd like to just start out this morning. We've been in Genesis chapter 1. This is the third week. First week I gave you just an overview, kind of the book of Genesis, but especially the first 11 chapters of Genesis. Because I said that in order to believe God's book, the whole thing from Genesis to Revelation, it is critical that we believe the first 11 chapters of Genesis. If we can get that down pat and we don't have any doubts in our minds or whatsoever, then it's not hard to believe the rest of the book and so forth. And last week we talked about Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, that God is the creator and Him alone. That God created everything on this earth, in the earth, through the earth itself, out of nothing. Nothing had ever existed other than heaven where He was at. I explained to you last week that when you read there in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's not the heaven where He's at. That's the third heaven. That's where He was dwelling at already. But that heaven is the second heaven that the Bible talks about, and then the earth, which is the first heaven there that the Bible talks about in the New Testament. And I told you about that. Now, God created everything that we know, see, and hear about out of nothing. And so, therefore, He is the great creator. And I took you through the verses of Scripture on that. I won't back up on it and so forth. Today, we want to start in verse 2. But I'd like to say this. In verse 1 of chapter 1 of Genesis, God did not prepare the earth. I failed to mention that last week, but I do want to throw that out at you this morning. And let me say this as well. The Bible is much deeper than what you and I could ever cover. It's inexhaustible. And I think many times people of God just kind of skim through the Bible and just kind of get the overlayer of things instead of digging deep into the Word of God and so forth. So today we want to do that and dig a little deeper than just the average person would do. Now, God did not prepare the earth. He created it. Understand that very well. That verse 1 absolutely says He created the heaven and the earth. And notice what that says in that word created. That word alone, created, is past tense. Okay? It's past tense. And there has to be, what we'll see here in just a few minutes, were some things has to come effect in verse 2, because I said last week in verse 2, God does not create anything that is mistaken, that is misformed, that is out of sync or anything. When God creates something, I mean, whatever it is, He creates it absolutely perfect. Absolutely. And we should have no doubt in our mind. And if we think that anytime we think that God, well, He didn't create the earth when He created it perfectly. And so in verse 2, the earth was still standing there, sitting there when it was without form and void. We're wrong. And we're saying that God is not powerful enough to create out of perfection and into perfection. Let me say that. Have you ever wondered, let me throw out a question at you. Have you ever wondered, have you ever thought about where Lucifer, when he was created? You ever thought about when he came into being? And what time? And when did he sin? When did he fall? When did God change Lucifer's name to Satan, to the devil, to the wicked one, you see, and to the serpent? That is his names, isn't it? We see that through the Bible. We agree on that. So, did Lucifer fall into sin and rebellion against God on the first day that God created? Or the second day? Or even maybe the third day? Where's the account in Genesis chapter 1 at all of his fall of rebellion, where God had to delete the name of Lucifer and change it to Satan? What did it happen in Genesis chapter 2? If you're familiar with your Bible and you've read it, though we're in chapter 2, do you see mention of that? But all of a sudden, in chapter 3 of verse 1, that's when he rears his ugly head, isn't it? And verse 1 says, now the serpent. You see that thing? Now the serpent. He shows up. So when was he created? When was he created? When was he given those names? And I want to show you something today that the Word of God teaches us, and you can only teach it from a King James Bible. I'm adamant about that. Because, number one, if you go to any other version out there, any of them, and look in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, all of a sudden you have the name changed from Lucifer, don't you? Have you ever looked at a false version of the Bible? I didn't bring one up here with me or anything. But in our King James Bible, it says, how art thou fallen, O Lucifer? Now you go check what them other versions say. They don't say Lucifer. They'll say son of the morning. And I've told you before that I've looked in NIV one time that was laying in a Christian bookstore, and it was open to that page, and I read that what that said, and Lucifer's gone, the name, and down at the bottom of the page it had a footnote, and it said, most Bible scholars believe this is talking about Jesus Christ. Now, somebody wanted his name taken out of this book, didn't he? And he succeeded in all these other versions. And that's the reason why the King James Bible is so hated. Yes, I said hated. People despise it. People reject it. People down it. And they say, well, you know, all the other Bibles, they're good too. Where are they good at? Whenever they delete and subtract the Word of God. Where are they good at when they add to the Word of God? Where are they at? Where are they good at whenever they take the name Lucifer out of their Bibles, and their scholars want to say that that's Jesus Christ? I'll tell you now, that's just, now there's, it just burns me up on that thing. And we're not through fighting that battle yet. That battle's been waging ever since 1881 over these false versions. And we're not done waging it yet. The devil is relentless. He tries to tear down and destroy. He casts doubt into your minds on the Word of God. Now, Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And verse 2 is where we're going to start at today. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So we have, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and all that's recorded concerning the original creation. Nothing is said which enables us to fix a date on that creation. That is not day one. Verse 1 and 2 is not. Day 1 does not start until verse 3. And if you have most of your King James Bibles, you'll see that verse 3 starts like a new, brand new paragraph. It has a little mark. I don't know what to call that little mark. It has in mine right there after the number 3. The opening sentence of the Word of God is not to be philosophized about, but it is to be presented as a statement of truth to be received without unquestioning faith. And that's the reason why I teach Genesis the way I do. And I don't rush through it. Some people just kind of breeze through the verses and just kind of go on with it and leave you standing there like, well, what was all that about? I like to explain it and use Scripture to do it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 speaks of the original creation. Verse 2, though, describes the then condition of the earth. Verse 2 describes something happens to the earth. It became without form, and it was void. And like I said a while ago, God creates, and He creates in perfection. The earth, when it was created, was vastly different from the chaotic state we find it in verse 2. So something must have happened. And the earth without form and void must refer to the condition of the earth much later than what it is before in the preceding verses. Some terrible catastrophe, I believe, took place. And I believe that awful catastrophe, that's when Satan, Lucifer, fail. Nowhere else in your Bible can you find that. Now, is he real? Is Lucifer real? Satan's real, isn't he? He is. We can try to say push him aside and everything else, but he's a foe to be contended with. And he fights us day after day. So he had to lose his standing, his original standing, somewhere before Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And whenever you lose your standing where you originally standing at, you know what that's called in the Bible? Apostasy. Apostasy. Apostasy means falling away from an original standing that you stood for, you see. So falling away. Now, this interval between verse 1 and verse 2 that took place right here and caused the earth, and that's what it means, was without form and void. It became. This interval right here is known as the gap fact. It's not a theory to me. Great men of God has taught this, not just in the last 30 or 40 years, but I'm talking about A.W. Pink taught it. G.H. Pember taught it. Alexander Hyslop taught it, and many others. And Bible believers, most Bible believers, believe this is what transpired in our Bible. This is what took place. And then after Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, beginning right there, there you have the 6 days of absolute creation. Restoration is what it is. Because you'll see over there in chapter 1, in verse 28, look with me there. And God created man in his own image. He did, didn't he? That was Adam and Eve. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. That's verse 27. But go back down to verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Now, is that a mistake in your Bible? That word replenish, is it? I'll tell you right now, if I believed what the Bible scholars and some of those that teaches in these schools and so forth, and where they say that replenish is a mistake in your King James Bible, I would take my Bible and I would throw it in the trash and I would be done. Because if I could not trust the God that has created everything, if I could not trust him to make his word perfect to us, exactly how he wanted us to hear it, to read it, believe it, how can I trust him to save my wretched soul? How can I trust him? I've never seen the blood of Jesus Christ, have you? But I absolutely believe from the very first day that I got saved, at that very moment when I cried out to the Lord to save me and to wash me clean with his precious blood, I had never seen that blood, but I believe that blood cleansed me of all my sins, just like the Bible says. All my sins, past, present, and future, by the way. Amen? Now, there's that interval there. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 through 31, it took place in a literal 6 days of 24 hours each. But let's back up to verse 2 and let's cover this. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Without form means the next time the word form shows up in your King James Bible is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. God created Adam, and his body was right, perfect there, not without form. Notice verse 7, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed, there's your word, man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, was Adam imperfect? No. He was perfect right there. He was absolutely perfectly formed, perfect in God's image. He was made in God's image, you see. And God is perfect, so therefore Adam was perfect. Adam did not become imperfect until he sinned in the Garden of Eden, him and Eve. So God created Adam, and his body was right. It was perfect. It had form about it. It was not without form, as verse 2 of Genesis 1, 2 says. It was ready for God to breathe the breath of life into it, and he did. It does not say that God had to do anything else with the body of Adam after he formed it out of the dust of the ground to give it shape or to make it right. It was absolutely perfect. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you were saved, you were made what? A new creature, right? You were made a new creature. It was instant. It did not take a process, did it? No. The very moment I asked Jesus Christ to save me, when I read that very moment, I became a new creature in Christ. I didn't have to do any kind of works, did we, in order to obtain it. I did not have to attain some other higher level to get there, did I? No, it was done instantly right there. There was no process involved. And when God made a new creature, he did something that cannot be taken away from, nor can anything be added to it, period. Salvation of the soul is something that God does, and he does it perfectly, and he does it instantly. Only a deceived man would think the salvation of the soul is a process or a progress. And only a deceived man would think that you can lose your salvation. You see, we have eternal security. When God saved us, he saved us forever. That's what eternity means. It's forever. When God created the heaven and the earth, he did it perfectly. Perfectly. This word void, it means to be empty. It's empty. It's useless. It's destitute. It's a state or feeling of loss or deprivation. It's a gap or an opening. This is found in your Webster's Dictionary. To make ineffectual, to invalidate, to nullify, to discharge. Now, did God create earth like that? Absolutely not. In verse 1, when he created earth, he created it perfectly. So all of a sudden, verse 2, it becomes void. It's ineffectual now. It's destitute. A reference verse to this is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 28. That's the next time. Let's just turn over and read it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 28. 32:28. The Bible says, "For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them." Now, if they're void, what's that mean? Well, they're ineffectual. That means a gap or an opening. They're nullified. They've become useless. They've become destitute. And that's the same word that's used right there in the second verse of Genesis chapter 1. Israel became a nation void of counsel. It was because of sin. It was because of sin. She's empty. She's void. Nahum chapter 2 verse 10 says that. And there's other verses. Turn back to Deuteronomy, if you will. Chapter 32. Deuteronomy again, chapter 32. I turned back too quickly. Chapter 32. Let's read verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, "He is the rock." Notice that capital R in your Bible. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. "For he is the rock. His work is perfect." Notice that? His work is perfect. "For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation." You see, that's what causes voidness, you see. Verse 16 and 20 through 22 of the same chapter. "They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sank to their sacrifice unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not." Now, did these gods just all, well, are these real gods that they're worshiping? No. They're false gods. Did they just, they're new gods that just came up? Where'd they come up from? They're designed by the devil, you see, in order to deceive mankind and get man off track from worshiping one true God, and causes them to follow after false gods. Man will worship something. You know, it's built and designed when God created man, that man will worship someone or something. It's there. Even after the fall of Adam and Eve, you see. "Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." As you know the word. "And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy, which did that which is not God. With that which is not God, they have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth where her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." I think God's pretty angry, isn't he? And I tell you right now, he was angry then with Israel, and he's even more angry today at this nation of America. I utterly believe those words I just read to you, God has said it in heaven. thinking those very things about America. America has went away from God. The churches of God have went away from God. They've become just titles, places with titles of church upon them nowadays. And there's other reference verses. Psalms 89, 39, if you want to write them down. I don't have time to turn all of them. Psalms chapter 119, verse 126. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 13. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Let's turn to that one, and then I'll move on. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void." See your word there? "But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." See, when God speaks, it's not void. It's not empty. It's not useless, is it? You see. But over here in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, the earth is without form and is void. It's useless. God didn't create it that way in verse 1. He created it perfectly. There's no imperfections, no mistakes with God. I believe what the Bible teaches here in verse 2 in Genesis, that this without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep is a time when Lucifer himself rebelled against God. Remember this, what verse 2 says there. This is the first time that darkness is mentioned. And most of the time, darkness is a result of God's judgment of sin and of rebellion. All through your Bible, darkness is associated with sin and rebellion. So, therefore, if there's darkness upon the face of the earth, you think God created that? Did God create sin? Did God create rebellion? Did he? He's a perfect, holy, and righteous God. There is absolutely no way, shape, or form. I don't care how you want to put it in your mind to even speculate that God could sin. Did you know that? Absolutely no way God can sin. There is no darkness in him. You see. So this darkness, where did it come from? I tell you who it came from. It came from the fallen one. It came from that one that's a deceiver today, that's still carrying people to hell left and right. It came from Satan. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. The Bible says, "I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void. And the heavens, they had no light." That means darkness. That's a reference to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. God created these. And God is light. So what caused the earth to be without form, to be void, and to have darkness? Well, turn with me now real quickly to Isaiah. We're going to show you who this character is. And let me say this. I have been fought for the past, my wife will know I tell you this, several weeks on this lesson right here alone. The devil don't like to be pointed out. He does not like to be exposed, you see. And every time I've ever taught anything on this right here, he has always fought relentlessly. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I'm telling you, ain't that right, Amy? I mean to tell you, if it's going to go bad, it's going to go bad. And anyway, Isaiah chapter 14. And that's the weeks when your washing machine goes out and your refrigerator and your microwave and everything else. But you just keep on going. You just keep on going. Because we're trusting our Lord. He's going to take care of us. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 17. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, when did he say all this? When did Lucifer say all this? Where was he when he said it? You see, you ever thought about that? And notice how many times he said, I. 5 times. And in your Bible, the first time that death is mentioned is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. It said, and he died. You see. 5. 5 times he said that. In rebellion against God Almighty. Well, where was he? When was he? Well, he must have weakened the nations. Must have weakened someone that was there where he was at. But notice what verse 14 says again. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Where is God at? He's in the third heaven up there, right? Sitting on his throne. Where a street is gold. We just read about that uncloudy day. I sung that song a while ago, uncloudy day. That's the day we're looking for. Huh? Now, there's no clouds in heaven, is there? That's just why it's an uncloudy day for us Christians. We'll never see another cloud. Did you know in heaven we'll never see any more darkness? So, right here, must have been some clouds between where Satan was at, Lucifer, and heaven where God is at. Because Satan says right here, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now, where is your clouds at? In the sky. Over the first heaven. I mean, here, right here. Earth is called the first heaven. It says so in Corinthians. So he was here on this earth looking up. And he was telling those people, those individuals, they weren't people, they were angels. We'll see later on that about that, who they are. And we call them fallen angels. The Bible records about them. Many of them are chained in the chains of darkness right now in hell, right? But he was telling them, he wasn't talking to himself. He's looking up there in the heaven. He said, I'm going to ascend above the clouds. And I'm going to be like the Most High. I'm going to be God. Who's going to go with me? Who's going to fight against God? We're going to take it over. Verse 16. Verse 15. Yet, here's what God says. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth tremble and did shake kingdoms? Is he a man? God refers to him as that. You know the reason why God refers to him as a man? He wanted to tell Satan, you are not God. You can brag and boast as much as you want to. And you can deceive as many of these angels as you want to. You've got your little kingdom that you've set, you've designed there on earth, where I put you at to bring up worship and praise unto me. But you have went away from me. You have rebelled against me. You have committed apostasy. So now then, to show you're not God, I'm going to bring you down to hell. Now, who was hell created for? Was he created for you and I? No. Why did God create hell? Tells you in the Bible, for the devil and the fallen angels. He says, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a, notice it now, wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof that opened not the house of his prisoners? When did earth become a wilderness? Whenever Lucifer was Lucifer, before he sinned. You see that thing? See, it became a wilderness because it became void because of the battle that took place. And God had to judge sin, and he had to judge rebellion, and he had to judge Lucifer for that sin and rebellion. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, read with me in verse 1 through 6. Ezekiel chapter 28. I reckon a lot of times when people read through the book of Ezekiel, they say, oh, such a hard book to understand and everything. No, but Ezekiel is one of the richest books in the Old Testament. And it ties a lot of things together, scripture with scripture. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. Now God referring to here, he is talking to Lucifer. That's who this Tyrus is. It correlates right with Isaiah chapter 14 where we just left. He says, thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man. Look at that. That's what God says to him. He reminds him, again, you are not God. I'm going to bring you down. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. In other words, those five things that was listed in Isaiah 14, that was Lucifer's heart, to do those five things. I will ascend. I will do that. I will be the Most High. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now, did Lucifer fall from heaven and fall from this earth here and fall into sin and rebellion against God at Daniel's time? No. He did it long before that, you see. But God refers to Daniel because we have the book of Daniel to see how wise Daniel was. Now, he equates him to that. With thy wisdom and with thy understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasuries. What do you think Satan was doing, Lucifer was doing down here on that new earth that God created after God created him and put him down here to bring up worship and praise to him? Well, the Bible tells you right there. He was gathering treasures. He's gathering gold and silver. You know some of the richest gold and silver holders today in the world is ruled by the devil. I'm talking about somebody like, the rich guy over there. Well, Soros, he's one, but one that has the gold. His family has been, I can't think of his name right now. But he's the richest man on planet Earth, him and his family. And they have estimated him to have over 500 million tons of gold. Now, I don't know if that's correct. That's a lot of gold. But I do know this. At this time of this right here, when God was explaining this to us today, at this time he's telling that Lucifer was gathering that stuff in his treasuries. And that's the reason why he thought he could be like God. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Look at that thing. That ain't talking about a normal man. That's talking about an individual. And his name used to be Lucifer. And I'll continue this next week, Lord willing, in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14, you're going to see the word mentioned, cherub. God tells you exactly who Lucifer is. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Just look real quick there. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. See, that's the reason why you know that's not an ordinary man, Tyrus. No human being can walk up and down through fire and survive it. But this individual, this anointed cherub, can. And that's the reason why hell was created for him. A burning, literal hell. You see. And this cherub right here is an anointed cherub. And we're going to see next week exactly what the Bible, and there's so much scripture on this, on who he is, what he does, and it'll give you a greater insight about your enemy to be able to fight your battles, my friend. Let me tell you something. We have an enemy. He's an enemy, first of all, to God. And you know what? The devil wasn't my enemy before I got saved. Because I was his child, and so were you before you got saved. We was a child of the devil. The Bible says that. And I did what he told me to do. What he tempted me with and everything else. But I can tell you right now, since the day I got saved, I've become an enemy to him, and he's an enemy to me. Because now I'm a child of God. And we need to know who about our foe in order to be able to fight him. See, that's why he don't want to be exposed. He don't like people to know who he is, what he does, how powerful he is, how he deceives people and so forth in all those manners. He likes to cover it up and take his name out of the scriptures, you see. He likes for the scholars to write down on the real footnotes and say, most Bible scholars agree that this is Jesus Christ. Yeah, he likes to deceive people. And buddy, he's doing a good job of it today, isn't he, in our land, all over this world. He's deceiving people left and right. And people says, oh, this is Christ, in their worship services and so forth. Oh. And they get all those lights going and all their dance teams going and everything else out there in the hoopla that goes along with it. The Lord God Almighty, the Holy Spirit of God is nowhere near that mess. Nowhere near it. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you, Father, for your book. Thank you, dear God, for what you do for us. Father, I pray that you will empower us and help us, dear God, to fight against your foe, our foe, the devil. Help us, dear God, to be able to stand and not fall into apostasy. Dear God, help us to continue to stand until the very day you take us home, either by death or by the rapture. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.